Hey, friend, this is Andy. Pardon the interruption, but first I want to say, hey, thank you so much for being a faithful listener to our show. And second, I want to tell you about something that we have never done before that we're doing now, which is we are taking deposits for our event. So our next event in person is not until October of 2025. So we've decided to take deposits now for that event. It will sell out. We sold out our April event, and we have a huge gap between now and our next event. So if you go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Right now, you can put a deposit down, hold your seat, and then pay the rest later in the year. So we will hopefully see you at our next event. You won't want to miss it. And now, back to our show. Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast. I caught you mid-sip. Sorry about that. Well, I'm so glad you're here. We had a chance to hang out, I think, last month. You're at a great firm who I've known people there for a long time. And so I actually came and visited you guys and said, hey, please let me look under the hood. And part of that was when we got to hang out for a while is you've shown me, one, your path and story, but also the seat you sit in now from a marketing perspective and how you guys serve advisors. So I want to dive deep into that, if you're listening and you're an advisor, finish this episode before you spend one more dollar on marketing. My story is I've spent a bunch of money on different random marketing things over time, and I can't look back and say, I understand the return on that investment. So I'm excited to dive in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And it was so fun having you at our firm. And I'm thrilled that you got to meet everybody and look under the hood and just we spent 20, 30 minutes together. And it was just a really fun conversation. So thank you so much for inviting me back.
You bet. So to start, if you could give us kind of your background, you've been in the business for a while, but held a few kind of pretty important seats. What brought you to where you are now?
Sure. So I've been with our wonderful firm for 20 years. I came in as a marketing assistant. There was just two of us in the marketing department at the time, and I was the lower one. And I did that for, one or two years, and my predecessor just left. So at that point, I was made the marketing director, but I was marketing director of nothing, of nobody. It was just me.
Nice.
And we were about 150 advisors at the time. So at that stage of my career, I was just trying to hold it down, like so many marketers are today, just trying to give the advisors everything that they needed. And at that point, I love thinking back, it was trifold brochures, and it was like dinner seminars, and it was 500 person mailings, like all that type of stuff. And I was like licking envelopes behind the scenes. So it was that type of marketing. I did that for about 5 years, and then I started to feel a little itchy in my career. So my GA and I had a conversation about me moving into the chief of staff role. So I moved into that role, and in that role, I did so much. A lot of special projects, a lot of kind of day-to-day operations, but mostly what I spent my time doing is sitting in coaching meetings between our GA and the advisors. That's what my GA, Paul, loves to do the most. That's what he loves to spend his time doing the most as growing advisor. So his week is full of those types of meetings. So I would sit in to help add to the conversation. Marketing never left me. It was always kind of in my spirit, what I love to do. So I would just, poke my thoughts and ideas in from time to time, but mostly just to take notes, capture takeaways, make sure they got done, things like that. But Sten, I must have sat in thousands of coaching meetings between advisors, and they were all somewhat similar, like all in the same vein of really what advisors were looking for and what advice Paul gave. So it was really just amazing to be able to see the firm from his level and really understand financial advisors and the challenges that go into being a successful financial advisor. I did that for 10, 11 years. And then he tapped me back and said, okay, time for you to go back into marketing. You're ready again. So that's when I took the CMO role in 2020. And it's been just a phenomenal ride ever since. And of course, marketing looks completely different now than it did back then.
So what I appreciated is the system you've created is, I think most firms or even solo advisors, marketing is like these one-off kind of flash in the pan initiatives. And it's like, oh, that one kind of worked. I'm going to try this one. And we're maybe not giving things enough time to truly see if it's going to get results. We're just creating activity by jumping between things. or we're ignoring marketing altogether, have a pretty basic website, and we're hoping we're just going to bump into people and get enough natural referrals, which all of that I've just said is probably the average path. It may not ruin your career. You may be just successful enough. It could work over time, but you guys are creating something, one that's segmented by advisor, because what I appreciate is you're like, not every advisor needs the Cadillac of marketing plans. But if you can walk us through the process of building that, and then what are some truths you've learned about marketing that you'd want every advisor listening to know to hopefully avoid kind of wasting dollars?
Sure, you got it. So yes, exactly what you said. There's a lot of similarities in what advisors need. But advisors typically come to us, they need marketing for the same types of reasons, right? Usually they have no time. They don't want to be bothered. They don't understand. They feel overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. You have this compliance piece that's looming over everything. That's really intimidating. So advisors come to us at all stage of their career, inexperienced or experience, and that's typically their block, what's holding them back. But every advisor is not created equal. And that was the mistake that I made as a leader in my first stint in marketing. And I think that's a mistake we made at Barnum for a lot of years, is trying to be all things to all advisors. And that's the biggest mistake I see when I talk to my marketing colleagues and other firms in industry and out of industry. They just are trying to do too much for too many people. So when I took the role in 2020, the very first thing I did is go to my very top advisors and say, okay, what are we good at? What do we stink at? And their feedback was exactly that. Like,
they didn't hold back. They just told you. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, they don't hold back. But that's what I love about the financial advice.
Know where you stand.
Yeah. I know I'm going to get the truth. I know I'm going to get it quickly. There's going to be a perfect transparency. Yeah. But they immediately said, you guys are doing too much for too many people. And you're not spending your time doing the right things. So I was like, okay, they pretty much wrote it for me. So at that moment, I decided immediately to do two things. One is I scaled back services. We are no longer licking envelopes. We are no longer, you know, spending hours revising a bio for the 10th time. We're not going to take, you know, five versions of your headshot because you just can't seem to pick one that you like, right? All this stuff where we thought we were giving good service, right? We were trying our best, but at the same time, it was really weighing us down for doing effective marketing. So I scaled down our services immediately, and then I tiered them. And I said, okay, we are going to really become expert in these few things, and we're going to offer them in two ways. We're going to offer them free and scalable for advisors who are at a certain level in their career, and they just want to get something out to their clients. They just want to make sure that they're staying relevant to their clients, but they're not really picky. They don't really have the time. They just want to make sure that their name is seen with their clients. And that's beautiful. So we were able to create a scalable marketing plan for all those folks. But for the other advisors, for the tier of advisors at our firm that do have a lot more ideas, who do have really unique boutique practices, who are in a very specific niche, so they need specific language, we created the agency, which is essentially a marketing agency within Barnum Financial Group. And for those advisors, for clients of the agency, we offer highly customized marketing work. So that could be anything from building an entire website from scratch. It could be putting an onboarding packet together. It could be creating email campaigns for client retention or for lead prospecting, creating videos for advisors so that they're seeing more. Everything and anything falling into that marketing space, yeah, our team touches in one way or another.
What would you say? Barnum is unique. I mean, you guys have close to 400 advisors, a lot of staff. I don't know if it's close to 1,000 supporting the total organization. I look back to when, if I was a new advisor that didn't know what I was doing, stepping into an organization that has that much support on day one, it's kind of like rocket fuel. Yeah. I know you guys also do really well recruiting experienced advisors that are, again, we're spending a lot of time on things that are not our superpower, which is getting new business and serving current clients. So for everyone listening, if they're trying to build it on their own, they don't have as much support, they have a team of 5 to 10, what are some marketing things you would say, try to avoid this because it might feel good, it creates activity, but it probably doesn't get results. And then what would you coach them up on? If you can only do a couple things, try to focus on these.
Yeah, great question. And this is my humble opinion. You know, if you got 10 marketers in a room, I would love that. We could have a really fun conversation. But I think what we try to steer advisors away from at first, because advisors love to go into social media. Mm-hmm. And they jump right into, I need to be on social. I need likes. I need engagement. I need people to like me. And of course, that is important. And that is a piece of a marketing plan. But doing that before you have a brand story won't make you look good. Doing that before you have a website that you are so proud of, that's working for you, that's bringing people to you, taking that step, that's like, you know, inning 7 of a 9-inning game. If you don't have innings 1, 2, and 3 covered,
yeah,
that's when advisors get into trouble. So we steer advisors away from that. Or if they really feel strongly they need to be there, we make it so scalable and turnkey for them. So nobody's wasting a lot of energy on it.
It has to be really consistent. Like, I don't know if people get 10 clients 2 weeks after doing social media. It's like, what's a reasonable expectation of like,
that's what I was just going to say. And then the other mistake that advisors make when it comes to marketing is the constant flip-flopping, the constant shiny ball of, well, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this, because they're confusing marketing and branding. And marketing and branding are two very different things, but equally important to each other.
Yeah.
So we always say, when you're branding somebody, we want someone to know who you are. Marketing is they're going to do something you ask them to do.
Oh, I love that.
So branding is asking someone to the dance, or marketing is asking someone to the dance, and branding is why they'll say yes or no.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so is branding getting their attention, and then marketing is, did you say getting them to do something, or was that
marketing is flip-flop? Marketing is getting their attention, and branding is you're getting their attention for the right reasons. They know who you are and they like you. That's what we want to have happen. So I was telling you, Sten, about a study we did, a study of Americans in the workplace. And what we learned, we pulled over 1,000 working Americans. And what we learned is that over 50% of working Americans want to work with a financial advisor who has the same values that they do. Okay. Very simple things. So we don't have to talk about political or religious values. We don't have to go there. They want someone who's like them. Very simple. Do you have a family? Are you also battling the logistics of sports schedules of middle school kids? Are you also trying to plan for your child's college? Are you also caring for an aging parent like I am? They want to know that their financial advisor is the same as they are in a lot of respects. So when it comes to marketing, that's where personal branding comes into play so much. And advisors try really hard to divide the two, right? They have the business me, the financial advisor me, and the personal me.
Yeah.
But I believe it's a marriage there. Nice. And, you know, we can work through how much those two bleed into each other, but clients, that is important to them to know that you are very similar to them in way, shape, or form. And that's where branding and marketing collide. So I always say, I'd rather you post on social media about what you're doing on the weekends. And how you spent your summer, and, you know, light trips about the vacation you were on, versus sending out an article on retirement planning that people will kind of breeze over. A picture of you and your children, if you're willing, right? Or you and a pet, or you on a hike, or whatever it is, right? You cooking a meal you love. That's going to get more attention because people are going to resonate with it.
I wonder, because our space is so compliant, and there's tools that create the same content for all of us that you can put on social media. So I think there's a win there in that advisors are allowed to use social media. I think the downside is the way we're all allowed to use it ruins it for all of us, because we're all posting pretty much the same stuff, maybe with a different banner ad, and it creates so much noise.
Yeah.
That at times I challenge advisors. I'm like, you have to take your advisor hat off and put your marketer hat on, which most of us are not great at. That's not our superpower. But we have to get their attention in a way that's not just facts over your head. Because I still think that's you just hoping a piece of content lands in front of the right person at the exact right time, and they just have to buy or do something with you.
Yeah.
You're not really putting them through an experience, and probably seeming different to them.
Correct. And that's, and I'm glad you brought that up, because thought leadership education is critical right now. That's how you breed trust. But they go hand in hand. So it goes, know you like you trust you, right? We all have heard of that before. That's how people make decisions, right? They have to know you, they have to like you, and they have to trust you before they will buy from you. So the know part comes first. You know, do I know you? Do I see you on social? Do I see you at my town events? Do I see you in my inbox? Whatever it is, right? Do they know you because they see you someplace? And then do they like you? Do you make them laugh? Do you make them smile? Is there a connection there? Yeah. And do they trust you? And the trust is built with that type of content. So that's, it all flows into a content strategy.
Yeah.
And that's a nice combination of who you are as a human, who you are as an advisor, and then where does your expertise come from? What are you an expert in? What do you do better than anybody else does? And then how are you telling that wonderful story to get people's attention?
And what's a reasonable expectation of how many times somebody has to be impressed upon before they take action? I've heard it's definitely not one.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not 20, but is it, what's 7 to 10? What do we shoot?
Yeah. It's the old adage that the stat that's out there that I still go by is 7. Okay. People need to hear the same thing. That's where advisors also, nice. I use them when I say it has to be the same message 7 times.
Wow.
Not, you know, asking them to come to a webinar one day, asking them to book an appointment through Calendly another day, asking them to download a fact finder another day, asking them to watch a video another day, the same message on repeat. And that's a struggle. That's a struggle for advisors. I understand where their hesitancy comes from. They're afraid they're going to turn people off, but they don't.
Yeah.
They don't, because people are not, yeah, they're not reading it as many times as you think they are. Like, they're not reading it 7 times and ignoring it. It just takes 7 times for them to actually see it and pay attention.
Yeah. Where I was challenged with marketing is, am I doing these kind of flash in the pan things and hoping one hits? Which I think any success you get from that is not a good indicator of the system. It's just like, oh, you got lucky once.
Yeah.
Versus taking somebody on a journey. And I had a buddy who does like marketing in like the health space. And he's like, you have to build a flywheel, meaning step one pushes them to step two, which pushes them to step three. And like, eventually you're going to get them where you want to go.
Yeah.
And it's more of like a give, ask, as opposed to like ask. Like,
yes,
you do what I'm telling you. It's like, I'm going to give you something. And my system, I'm building a system that's going to be around for a long time, and eventually it'll gain momentum and it'll work, which my mind goes like, that's an actual marketing plan, not like paying somebody $1,000 for a website or paying somebody $1,000 for some posts. It's like, do you actually have a plan that's probably what, 12 months? Like, what's a reasonable timeline to say I've built something and now I can expect results?
I mean, it's like your business plan, right? You have a business plan that goes into affinity that's just ever changing. Yeah. Your marketing plan is the exact same thing. And there are wonderful tactics on your marketing plan that are easy wins, those easy dopamine hits of, oh, my website is done. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and we do a lot of website builds for the agency. We are phenomenal at it. And it's a wonderful feeling when we present an advisor with his or her new website.
Yeah.
We'll let them enjoy that moment for a day. And then the next question is, okay, time to now drive people to this.
Yes. Nice.
You just built this beautiful digital home, this beautiful digital office. I want everybody to see it. Let's get to work.
Nice.
And then we go through building that plan now. And it's just constant tweaking. You know, technology plays a huge part in this, Sten, you know that. So like, technology is ever, ever changing. So we have to tweak based on where people are, and then balance compliance with that. So it's a constant give and take. I have to give myself and the marketing team at Barnum, my team, a lot of props, because we try to take as much of that off of the advisor as humanly possible, because that, respectively so, is what pulls them away from marketing.
Yeah.
Is the constant changing, the constant, let's try it this way, the constant, I'm going to take that email and just reword 2 or 3 sentences to see if we get a different result. I'm going to make, you know, move that button from blue to green to see if that stands out. That's frustrating to them. And I could completely respect why. It's really frustrating when you get stopped mid-project because compliance steps in and they have questions, but we handle all that for them. So I think that is a big weight lifted, and I could certainly respect why. And that allows them to focus more on their clients, which is where they should be spending the majority of their time. But the plan just, it's like a little baby. It just has to constantly be monitored and changed and tweaked. So that everybody's comfortable and everybody's happy throughout the entire process.
One thing I caught myself neglecting was marketing to my current book. Almost like I need to keep reminding them why they work with us and who I am versus like, I gotcha. And now I'm going somewhere else. And I had the idea of, I want to try to, and there's some compliance navigating here. Mm-hmm. I want to do a cool setup on a whiteboard where I'm teaching them high level planning concepts or ideas. Like I want them to perceive me as like a coach, an encourager, where it's like, can every 2 weeks they get a video that just, even if they click it, even if they don't understand it, it reminds them like Sten's an authority. Like if he can teach this, that's why I work with him.
Yeah.
And my first thought was like, man, I'm going to put this out on LinkedIn and just do all these videos. And I was like, I don't know if we're set up for that yet, but what if I film it and then I just start giving it to my current people? And I got such great feedback. I love the video. That was really interesting. Thanks. I can share it with somebody.
Yeah.
And so I had to catch myself. I think those are two separate things. There's marketing and reminding the people that you already have and that like you, so they don't forget why they work with you. And maybe if your philosophy's changing or you're becoming a different kind of advisor, leveling up. And then there's the external piece of it. How would you approach this?
I think you are spot on. And I think the most underrated marketing strategy is email. I think advisors do not give enough credit to how effective email marketing can be and to how much your clients want to hear from you. They want to see your name. They want to be invited to things. They want to watch a video if you're sending it. At least they want the option to, right? We don't want to make that decision for them. Yeah. So I think you are spot on that. I mean, anyone would argue that retaining your clients is where you should be spending the majority of your time.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone segments, right? You have your A's, your B's, your C's, and so on and so forth. But bringing everybody up through that process. So making a B an A, a C a B, you know, taking them up through their process. That's what you should be doing with your existing clients. But wowing them. Who doesn't love to wow somebody and to make somebody feel good and to provide a moment of joy for their clients that nobody else could. I mean, that just makes everybody feel good. But also, those are the type of things that are going to make you referable. And your client's probably right. He or she did probably send that video to somebody else.
Hope so.
So that is marketing at the same time. But we always talk about email marketing at Barnum, and I do it on behalf. I centralize a lot of our marketing for the firm. The response is just phenomenal. How much clients just soak up the knowledge, and it's basic stuff too. They don't really need these complex concepts. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, it's don't forget to budget. Don't forget to revisit your financial plan after a few years. Yep. Don't forget, if you had a big life change, we're here. Come see us. We should talk about it. It's really simple concepts like that, but it's just constant reminders that their finances are important and that we are here to help them.
Yeah. And I think it's within a process, I don't think it's as intimidating as it may sound to people listening. Like, I've never done any of that. That feels like a huge project. Mm-hmm. For us, we just set aside 4 hours on a day. Set up a filming session. I then later found a film crew that came in for like $1,500, set it all up, filmed like 25 videos in a day. And if I'm doing that every 2 weeks, you know, I'm set for almost a year of content. And so I think there is some lift to it, but if you're listening, it's worked great for us. Really practical is, you know, you put some disclosures on the end, get with your compliance to get it approved, but you can create in a week enough content to drip on your people for a year. And you're done.
You got it. And if video is a step up to your point, Sen, if people aren't ready for video, do the same thing, but just say, what do I want to tell my clients? What do my clients need to know this month? What are two messages I could send to them that will just remind them that I'm here if they need anything?
Yep.
And that's a really fun thing to do. And then you could generate the emails and get them out twice a month. And you do that every month. That's 24 touches in a year.
Yeah.
that's 24 times your name is going to show up in their inbox.
Yeah.
That's so many times where if they're out at a cocktail party and someone mentions they're looking for a financial planner and they want to refer you, your email is right there. If they're up in the middle of the night, they had something catastrophic happen and it just triggered the, oh my gosh, I need to call Sten. I need to make a change to my plan. I need to do X, Y, or Z. They don't have to hunt you down. Your information is right there for that. That's what we want to do. We want to keep you in front of your clients. So when they're ready, you are there for them.
I do feel like advisors at times will default to just more meetings. I found there's a time where you can do too much. Like you're not really helping a client by taking more of their time than they really need to give you. That there are these scalable touch points that fill the gap. If you have any nervous energy that like, oh, my clients, I'm not touching them enough. I need to meet with them more. I don't think that's always like an in-person meeting because there's so many things you can do that are valuable, consistent, scalable touch points.
100%. And that's one of them. You're right there. You always offer the meeting if they think they want it. But if not, being digital, whether it's like this over a Zoom or being in their inbox, is just as personal as sitting with, I won't say just as personal, but it's very close to sitting with them face to face. And to your point, they may not want the commitment, right? They may not want to travel and spend an hour together, but they want to know that you're thinking of them.
Yeah.
Right. And they're easy.
An email. That you can do that. I'll start emails now and be like, hey, I was just thinking about you when I saw this thing.
Yes.
I saw this, it made me think of you. Say it if it's true. We're not trying to, manipulate people, but people do like to know that they were thought of. And at times my clients, the ones that have gotten the noisiest, I'd end up kind of getting to the root and they're like, they weren't getting attention and they felt like they had to get loud or kind of push back to get attention. I think we can get ahead of that and avoid.
Definitely. Over-communicating gets ahead of that. And our advisors, again, rightfully so, are always worried about spam and opt-outs. And I manage the millions of emails we send. It's not an issue. It's just not happening. The clients, if they don't feel like reading your message, they'll scroll on by. No harm, no foul at that moment.
They're not offended by it.
They're not affected by it. But it's better to do it and let them make the decision when they want to read something or not read something versus you making the decision. And then to your point, there's a little bit of backlash from it. But in my marketing years, I have never, ever felt that over-communication has done harm.
Yeah.
If you're communicating the right things. And that's where you monitor, right? There's really complex, detail email strategies where we're monitoring open rates and we're looking at what people clicked on and we're tweaking as we go. That's one side of the spectrum. The other side is just send out two really nice emails a month through Outlook or whatever your platform is.
Yep.
And just be there. And then you just graduate up based on what your business can afford and what your time can afford.
Yeah. I do know that there's not a shortage of need. So I know when I was a new advisor, there was this feeling of like, if somebody got a client, that means they took them from me. And the longer I've been in the business, I'm like, there's so much opportunity that all of us are not tapping.
Yeah.
But there is a skill that I think advisors should be great communicators. Advisors, obviously, we need to know our craft well. But as soon as you can unlock an understanding of like how to get people's attention in their busy lives and give them value consistently, but then also give them off ramps to engage with you. Because it shouldn't be all just here's a bunch of content with no calls to action.
Yeah.
It's taken me years, but then even sitting with you in the space you've been in, I'm like, there is a process here that does work. It doesn't have to look the same for everybody, but if you're listening right now and you're like, I don't have a process, I'm kind of making it up as I go, I challenge you to kind of go down this path a little bit and study it. There's a book, I think it was called like Jab, Jab, Cross or something that was, how do social media people get people's attention? And it's like, well, we're going to overwhelm them with a value before we ever ask for something back.
You got it.
So it's out there for the taking. My hope is fewer advisors live in like sporadic, reactionary marketing that just wastes money. I've spent probably, I don't know how many times I've signed up for a $3,000 a month retainer with a marketing firm. And then I'll say like, what are our results? And like, well, we don't really measure results. Like it'll eventually work. And I'm like, I'll own that because I didn't go in with a plan or intention. Yeah. I was just willing to throw money at something and it just wasn't a good business move.
Yeah. And I think what advisors miss then in situations like that is going in with the right expectations. Hmm. So, which is something we'll set up right away. I'll be very clear to say, we're probably not going to generate leads here. What we're going to do is generate traffic to your website. Like, that's the metric we're working on here.
That's great.
What we're going to generate here is just a good open rate to know that clients are seeing your notes and they care about what you have to say. They're opening the email. I don't know how many people are going to come to the event, right? So I'm very clear with what we're looking at. And I think that's sometimes where marketers aren't, because maybe they're scared of what the advisor would say. Yeah. But also advisors are so excited, they don't ask the question. They just assume they're going to get the result. So I think honing in on those goals is really, really important too.
That's great.
Yeah.
As we wrap up here, what would you say to advisors listening, that we all have some blind spots in the marketing space? That's not who we are. What's kind of your last piece of advice for advisors listening?
There's so much advice, but my last piece of advice is, number one, just stick with it. Okay, you're going to have to market. So let's do something. Something is better than nothing. So get pen to paper and get going on just one thing and try your best to be consistent. If you don't know what that one thing is, I'll tell you. Create a very solid digital footprint. People are going to go to the internet the second they see your name pop up in an email, if they don't know you, or they're going to go and check you out. And they're going to do that digitally through your website, through social, possibly through consumer review sites. So make sure it's elementary, but make sure you have a nice, clean digital footprint. I don't mean clean of like bad things. I mean, it represents you the way that you want to be represented to those people. Make sure your story is the same. Make sure your profile on every social channel is the same. Make sure all that looks really, really good. If you do that, then they will take the next step.
I love that. What I'm hearing you say is make your Facebook private if you like to party a lot.
Yes. Nice. People are going to find you. They do a lot of research ahead of time.
Yeah. Elizabeth, thank you. It was good hanging out again.
Yes, you too, Sten. Thanks so much.
You bet.